Tweety. We heard Nobody Dies Anymore. And then Sarah Drew started set off with her album Build Me Up From Bones. And we heard Over the Edge. The time is exactly 8 p.m. This is KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, 93.7 FM in Netherlands, and online at KGNU.org. My name's Will Two-Step, and it's been a pleasure. You have been listening to Highway 322, and stay tuned for Jack and Dixieland Marmalade, what's Ragtime. Oh, man. Yes, Ragtime America. Here we go. Take care, everybody.
Welcome to Ragtime America. I'm Jack Rummel. I'll be with you for an hour of recorded ragtime this evening. And tonight we're going to tackle a topic that I hope you will find interesting. It's sort of a cross between blues and ragtime, I guess. I'm calling this show A Blues Is Not a Blues When It's a Rag. And so we are going to listen to a bunch of these and try and figure out, is it a blues or is it a rag? Starting right off with a well-known piece from 1912 by W.C. Handy, supposedly one of the first blues pieces ever published. It's the Memphis Blues. However, Handy refers to it with a subtitle. He calls it a Southern Rag. So we'll let you guys just decide. Thank you. The Paragon Ragtime Orchestra and the Memphis Blues, a Southern rag. Well, it was a little of a mix there. One of the definitions of blues, I guess, is that it's 12 bars rather than the standard 16 bars found in ragtime. Certainly opened up with 12 bars, but then switched to 16 and then back to 12, so a mix. Turning now to a piece written in 1917 by Irwin LeClaire. This is the Triangle Jazz Blues, named for Now I can't remember and I can't look it up either, but it's either a club or a theater by the same name. Anyway, let's listen to a great pianist, Robbie Rhodes. Triangle Jazz Blues, played by Robbie Rhodes. There wasn't a 12-bar section in that piece at all, and yet they call it a blues. Did have some flatted notes in there, flatted sevenths, maybe flatted thirds, which are also trademarks of the blues, but I'd call that one a rag. Let's turn now to a composer that we don't normally associate with ragtime, and for good reason. I am referring to Bix Beiderbecke, who's better known in the jazz field than he is in the ragtime field, but here from the 20s at some point comes Davenport Blues. Here's Ken Werner. Thank you. Well, I'm not sure I'd call that either a rag or a blues. I might call that a tone poem. Davenport Blues by Bix Beiderbecke. That was Ken Werner on piano. Turning now to a composer named Charles L. Cook from 1914, a fairly popular piece called Blame It on the Blues. Here is the River Raisin Ragtime Review from Michigan. Blame It on the Blues, the River Raisin Ragtime Review. Well, that is a flat-out rag. Not a blue note in there anywhere. No 12-bar sections. Moving on. 1917 is the year. Leo Gordon is the composer, another name I really don't know anything about. It's a piece called The Bonehead Blues, and I'll give you a hint here. It's subtitled A Jazz Foxtrot. Here's Waldo's Ragtime Orchestra. ¶¶ The Bonehead Blues. I would not call that a blues. There are some blue notes in there, but it's structured very much like a rag, or as it says, like a foxtrot. From 1940, the great pianist Bob Zirke wrote Hobson Street Blues, very popular among stride pianists. So here is a version by Martin Spitznagel. That zipped right on through. Hobson Street Blues, Martin Spitznagel there. I'd call that a stride piano piece. Just, that's what it is. Okay, let's move on here now. From 1920, a piece by Rufus Thompson, another unknown name to me. It's called The Blue Note Rag. And here is a scratchy piece of vinyl. I'll apologize for that. Here is Dick Zimmerman.
Thank you.
Blue Note Rag, Dick Zimmerman there. It's a rag with a few little bluesy notes in it. Brun Campbell wrote a lot of pieces, didn't write them down, so we don't really know when they were composed, and here's one of them. It's called The Blue Rag. So right off the bat, you got to think that maybe it's a rag, but then maybe he's got something tucked in there. Let's listen to David Thomas Roberts and find out. Is just that, just a little short rag with a little bit of blues in it. That was David Thomas Roberts playing that Brun Campbell number. All right, well, we got to keep moving on here. So from 1918, a composer named Fred Jewell, who wrote mainly for band and orchestra, wrote a piece called The Trombone Blues. Probably got some nice trombone smears in there. And we will listen to the University of Wisconsin Symphony Band.
Thank you.
the University of Wisconsin Symphony Band and Trombone Blues, and wasn't blues. So I'm not sure where the name comes from. I have to speculate that the blues became popular after ragtime, probably around 1912, 1913, somewhere in there, and became very popular. And so I think a lot of people were trying to cash in on that popularity, because none of these pieces that we're listening to tonight were written very early on in ragtime's history. So could be that it was just a gimmick to sell more sheet music or more recordings or whatever it turned out to be. Let's go to a contemporary piece now, this one from 1980, written by Marty Eggers, who's best known as a bass player with various jazz groups, but is very active in ragtime. He's one of the promoters of the West Coast Ragtime Festival. And here's a piece he wrote called The Indigo Rag, kind of a slight twist on the blues name. Let's listen to Marty himself. Thank you. Indigo Rag. Marty Eggers does a nice job there. We're blending some bluesy sounds there, some flatted sevenths with a straight-ahead ragtime 16-bar structure. From 1917, a piece by Abe Ollman, who has written several well-known rags that we all like. But this one is a rare one. It's called Cheerful Blues, which makes me wonder, is that a oxymoron? Anyway, here is Eric Marchese from Southern California. Eric Marchese has brought us the Cheerful Blues from 1917. Definitely a rag, but with some nice bluesy tones to it. So, anyway, some of these are hard to define. Well, the next name should be familiar to all of our listeners. That's Ubi Blake. This is a piece that he wrote late in his career. as part of a recording project that took place when he was 86 years old. This was back in 1969. He wrote a piece called Blue Rag in 12 Keys. Here is Ubi. Inimitable Ubi Blake and Blue Rag in 12 Keys. The opening statement was 12 bar blues, but then after that it changed to 16 bars, and then at the end I lost count. Hal Nichols is a name that I don't know too much about. In 1914 he wrote a piece called The Black and Blue Rag. So it could be almost anything. Probably a rag right straight through, but that word blue is in there. So let's listen to the legendary California pianist Paul Lingle, who really didn't like to be recorded. He only went to the studio once. After that, refused to go, but this recording caught him live at the Jug Club.
Thank you.
single, Live at the Jug Club, and that was Black and Blue Rag by Hal Nichols. I don't know what made it black and blue. It was just a flat-out rag. This next one, I'm not quite so sure. It's been a while since I've listened to this. From 1918, a piece by Frank Cappy called Tin Whistle Blues, as played by Trevor Tichenor. Fade this just a little bit so we can try and squeeze two more pieces in before we're through. That was the Tin Whistle Blues by Frank Cappy, played by Trevor Tichenor. Sort of a mixture with blues, 12 bar and some 16 bar in there as well. Arthur Shutt, who wrote a lot of novelty pieces from 1926. Here's one he wrote called Blue in the Black Keys. And here is young Vincent Johnson from Southern California. Blue and the Black Keys, as played by Vincent Johnson. Very definitely a novelty rag all the way through, but some nice bluesy sounds in that one. Well, we'll go out with a piece by Theron Bennett from 1916 called Some Blues for You All. Nice to close with that one, I guess. Dick Zimmerman will bring us to a close. This is Jack Rummel saying thanks for joining us on Ragtime America this evening. Hope you've enjoyed our excursion into blues and rag and a combination thereof. Time is 9:01. You're listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, and on the World Wide Web at kgnu.org. Stay tuned for Swing Shift.
Thanks again, Jack, and a hearty good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dave Gloss with tonight's version of Swing Shift here on KGNU. Tonight we celebrate April and Easter, so I hope you'll stay tuned for some wonderful sounds. You know, you'd never know it by looking outside right now, but it is April here in Denver. And several years ago, I foolishly believed the song about April in Paris and went to Paris and just froze. But it's a wonderful tune. And in the early 1950s, it certainly helped Count Basie and his orchestra stay on the map. Here's April in Paris.